Good morning. Today is Tuesday, September the 26th. Joining us this morning, Fortuna City Manager Mark Wheatley. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
You got to be coming up like on 6 months here pretty quick, huh?
I am indeed.
Or have you already crossed that threshold and yeah, you're
I'm just about
surpassing
there.
Everyone's expectations.
I'm moments in time away. Yes.
Oh, is it that close?
It is.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can find a quote that's almost as much fun. Ralph Waldo Emerson. I chose him because I could pronounce him. God offers to every mind its choice between truth and repose. Take what you please. You can never have both. Yeah.
There you go.
Ain't that true?
That is the truth.
So what's cooking in Fortuna?
Oh, well, let's see here. We've got a housing element update we're in the process of doing. We have a workshop tonight with our planning commission. So it's one of those things the state requires of all local governments and part of your general plan.
Really? So it's not okay, and it needs to be revisited periodically.
Yeah, it used to be a 4-year cycle, and 5-year cycle, and I believe they're moving towards an 8-year cycle now.
Oh, really? So they're relaxing that a little bit.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Because one of the things that happens in that process is the state housing community development HCD designates what are called RENA numbers, which is your regional housing needs allocation. And that comes through HCOG here in Humboldt. And then cities are, to be compliant with the state requirements, able to provide through zoning designation and or availability a certain amount of housing.
So if let's say town A is 10% of the total community and there's a need for 100 houses, town A would have to step up for 10.
Something like that, yeah, more or less, yeah. And periodically they've revised the numbers, but statewide, of course, it's obviously you can meet those numbers, but whether you can go out there and build it, because there's not a lot of, especially with takeaway redevelopment, which was the mechanism by which low and moderate income housing happened. The takeaway has. You're relying on the private sector, and the market is maybe just not there right now.
So it doesn't matter if it's a high-end, low-end apartment building, condos, duplex, single-family. A dwelling unit is a dwelling unit?
To some degree. They are looking for the strata across the, low-moderate income housing,
Have you ever heard of a neighborhood or a community that has to have higher income housing? It's always lower income. It's always entry level.
Right.
It's always, have you ever heard the other end?
Given the there's a housing bill, SB5, going forward that's going to be a bond for the voters. And part of that discussion, like an entry level home down in like Santa Clara County is approaching $1 million, in some areas, which... That's way off the chart.
Come north, young man. Come north.
But even we're seeing it. Our housing stock and our housing market is skyrocketed.
Well, and that makes sense.
Yeah.
I guess this could be a leaping off point for the rest of the program if we want to. But there's been no incentive for that. As we're still wrestling with the recession, there's really been no attraction for it with the federal. And the state subsidization of low income, of moderate, of high density, of all these things that are not regular homes, so to speak. Why risk it? You got a guarantee on one side, you got risk on the other. The payback on one is guaranteed and it's probably almost as healthy as what the other is. Yeah, why do I want to go feed the tiger? I'll go over here and feed the ducks.
Yeah. Well, it is. It's the housing market across California is a very dicey situation. It's changing dramatically. People aren't out there to get that the single family home with the lawn and the whole nine yards like in the past. So it's a shifting market, and people just can't can't come out of college and jump into a home like that anymore. It's not how it works. And so you know, the intent is to try to provide a spectrum of housing for various income levels. And then, of course, the state has a focus on also designated areas for providing for homeless services and things like that. And then one of the focus in this in the bond, the SB 5 housing package that will go before the voters is a third of it, I think, is in the realm for specifically for veterans, so for veteran housing. So
well, that'd be cool.
Yeah. So there's a big element of that in this housing package. So,
as you look at Fortuna or any of the, I guess maybe McKinleyville would be an exception to a certain extent, but any of the communities in our area, we've grown up over decades, over generations, and they're not a town. You know, it's kind of an evolving, amorphous amoeba thing, and you can see the different aspects of it. Does that present additional challenge, or is that a benefit as far as what the state's looking for?
It presents a challenge. Yeah. It's you know, McKinleyville is one of those kind of one subdivision grew off of another subdivision grew off of another. It's always interesting flying into McKinleyville, looking down and seeing how did they figure out that street matrix down there?
Must have been a creek.
Yeah.
Must have been. It's 8:19.
It's not the place they hope to be in spring training, but the San Francisco Giants have the rest of the summer to play, and they'll be bringing their exciting brand of ball to Kika, Thunder Country, 101.5 FM. They've got a lot of games left on the schedule against contending teams, and playing the role of spoiler is a definite possibility. Be tuned in for all the action, all season long. Brought to you on KINS, in part by Angelo's Pizza, Wyckoff's Plumbing, Electrical, and Hardware, and Living Styles Furniture.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mark Wheatley. Mark, the concept of housing being part of the overall infrastructure of a community, I would think could almost be refreshing because it's not then at each other. It's kind of enveloped. So when the sewers are put in, you're making those allowances. And I suppose to a certain extent, that's part of the general plan also. But when you're in a community that is starving for housing, in all of the strata, what should a city do or a governmental entity?
Yeah, it is a challenge. And, you know, housing is integral to the infrastructure of a city. It is part and parcel to it. And, you know, much of the infrastructure we traditionally think of, roads and sewers and water, things like that, those support the housing. And, you know, when you're lacking housing, you're also, you know, lacking, you know, you're creating, you know, blockades for other kinds of, you know, economic development and, you know, expanding your population within your town. And so I think, you know, in some places, you know, you're going to be looking at increased density for sure. You're going to look at, you know, possibly going up, you know, instead of out. That was certainly the case in Arcata. You know, they're kind of bound on all sides. And so, and you know, being able to provide that kind of economic, you know, all that full spectrum of economic opportunities for people in a community is a challenge. And I think that's what was a driver. It's across the state right now is a big, huge issue for many cities. And so that's, I think that was much of the momentum behind this SB 5 housing package.
Is it housing, Mark, or is it access to purchasing housing? You know, there are some places, like you mentioned, you know, the San Jose area. Okay.
Right.
You know, unless you're knocking down $400,000 to $500,000 annually, you're probably going to be a commuter.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, in Fortuna, it's going to be a little bit different, as it would be, you know, in any of our local communities. But looking at that, okay, if you've got a footprint for land, all right, and there's pent-up demand on both areas, I would think that the higher density would be the direction that most developers would go, unless they recognize something or specialize in a certain area or things along those lines, or the permit process was a whole lot easier. I mean, I'm sure there are ways mm-hmm. that you can jigger it a little bit mm-hmm. to say, well, you know, one way is going to take you is 8 months, one way is going to take you 8 days.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're both in compliance, they're both legal. I mean, but you know, if you want to turn your money a little bit quicker, mm-hmm. this is the direction we would suggest you go.
Right. Well, you're right. It's market driven, and so what the buyer wants is, you know, what developers, the private sector is going to build. You know, housing is a tricky thing. It's one of those public-private kind of partnerships in some ways, but it's really, you know, almost, you know, it's the private sector which is the driver. You know, there's not a
unless
lot of housing.
Unless the fees get so overwhelming that it doesn't become possible.
Yeah, yeah. The you know, it is, you need the housing where the jobs are, and then what is the market demand? And so I just think, you know, many of the communities up here, you know, we don't have a lot of, you know, room for expansion, you know, and sprawling out further. It's going to have to be taking another look at what you have and maybe going back and rebuilding your housing stock in some areas and going to higher density and possibly, you know, doing a mixed, you know, work-live kind of thing where you have some maybe commercial space on the bottom level with housing on the top.
Well, like the old European immigrant model on
yeah.
the East Coast.
Yeah.
You know, the grocery store's downstairs and
yeah.
mom and pop live upstairs.
Right, exactly.
Kind of yeah.
And I think, you know, that's gonna be the case.
What about Blades? Yeah, you know, I know there's a lot of homes that would, for most of us driving by, yeah, that's a Blader. Let's knock it down. But now, you know, if a home's over 50 years old, then it becomes a historical structure, hand
right.
in hand, and all of a sudden now you can't do certain, the flexibility is gone. Or, you know, I don't know what percentage of Fortuna is within the coastal zone, because I'm not sure how far up the river it comes. But now you got that overlay.
Yeah.
And you got all these things that are counter to the marketplace's interest and demands because of the regulatory environment that California's in. Does that hinder a lot of this stuff too?
That definitely is a handcuff on in some situations. I mean, we certainly are blessed in one way that we do have a lot of, you know, interesting architecture and historic housing, and they knew how to make houses a whole lot better back in those days because many of those houses are still standing very strong. You know, and you know, there's a place. Sometimes I'm not always in agreement with some efforts on historic preservation, because sometimes it was a cheap bad house when it was built the first time, and I'm not
sure. So now
sure
it's a historically bad
it's
house,
historically
yeah.
bad. Right. So sometimes you're right. You know, those regulatory handcuffs come into play and provide, you know, really constraints. And
is that a significant limiter in Fortuna?
Not so much in Fortuna. I think we are just, you know, we've almost gotten to that point where the available housing stock is reaching that point, but we've certainly seen an escalation of housing costs, and so it's absolutely,
that's going to be your barometer,
yeah,
obviously,
right? And I think you know, there's a lot of people that want to move to Fortuna, so that's what we're, you know, kind of bracing for the future.
Relocate from elsewhere in Humboldt County or outside coming in?
Both.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Mark.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back Talking Shop this morning with Fortuna City Manager Mark Wheatley. Talk Shop's presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Mark, the concept of new folks that you alluded to wanting to come to Fortuna. Now, I understand there's folks from other communities in the county that want and are attracted to Fortuna, either because of the sunshine or the whatever it might happen to be. Oh, pardon me. Stellar governmental leadership.
Yeah. On the short list.
Yeah. But also folks looking to relocate into Humboldt County from outside the area. What are some of those challenges that you see that need to be, and I would use the word overcome, because I think that's the appropriate one. If housing is part of it, is it housing in certain economic or price ranges? Is it housing at all? Is it jobs? What is it that you see are the things, if you could knock five things out of the ballpark, what would those five things be that you see as encumbrances for people to relocate here?
Well, jobs definitely is one. You know, having economic opportunity, you know, we have a lot that we're actually seeing a lot of businesses in other communities that I will say, as a result of some of the expansion of the marijuana industry, are trying to get out of some of those other communities and want to come to Fortuna.
Safe haven.
Yeah. And or they want to operate in, you know, they don't want to be, you know, next door to that kind of operation. And so we've got a lot of people, a lot of businesses knocking on our door. We're trying to find places that could provide opportunity for them or they could relocate. You know, we have the Open Door Clinic is under construction. That's going to bring a whole bunch of, you know, new professionals to the community, and they're going to want to live in the community too. So being able to provide that kind of housing that they're going to be attracted to and want to have and be able to stay and live in the community is another.
Yeah, a fixer-upper probably isn't. I mean, it might be kind of cool for you and me,
yeah,
personally. For the broad breadth of folks, probably isn't going to be the ideal housing stock to draw from.
True.
Yeah, okay.
And so, you know, that, you know, transportation obviously is another one. You know, and then there's...
What kind?
I think, you know, in our area, you pretty much, you can get around on the bus system. And you can certainly get around town, and that's not a problem.
So public transportation?
Yeah, public transit.
Okay.
You know, we have, you know, our roads are in pretty darn good shape. I think our biggest, on the infrastructure side, our biggest challenge is probably stormwater, storm drain management. You know, it's that kind of under the ground lurking, ticking time bomb because of the antiquated infrastructure and just the, you know, it's that time. We had a few sinkholes last winter, and, you know, some of those can sneak up on you. So, but the state's, you know, put a mechanism in place where you can start to, you know, charge a fee to begin to rebuild that infrastructure. I think quality of life is one of the biggest things that is a selling point within the city of Fortuna. We got, you know, we're blessed with pretty good weather down there. It's a very, you know, family-friendly community. And you know, there's some great things happening. We've got the, you know, the new Open Door Clinic is under construction right now. So healthcare, we've got, you know, already have Redwood Memorial Hospital. For some people having, you know, that those kinds of facilities nearby, that's very important. The McLean Foundation is about to break ground here on a couple weeks on this new community center, which is going to be a great thing. It's going to be over by Newburgh Park. And so it's going to be a site for, you know, seniors and youth. And we're going to get a couple of new fields out of that. So our whole, you know, recreation program will be stronger and better than ever.
Is there a city, town, community that Fortuna sees as a model? It kind of is like a template. I mean, I'm thinking if we didn't have the drug overtones,
mm-hmm.
that it's kind of Lafayette, Moraga? I mean, you don't have the school, but that kind of a scenario where you're not the county seat, you're not the primary employment area, but a lot of folks are there and going back and forth is okay. But insular a little bit also because you're not on the highway. You know, it's not coming through town like it does for Eureka. It seems like it's almost in that. Obviously, the income strata is a little different, but excluding that, it kind of, as you're talking about the filling in and stuff, I'm thinking that kind of a town.
Yeah. I'd say we're probably less of a bedroom community than some of those examples, possibly, but because we have a lot of small businesses in the community that, and those people live and work there. And it's a very tight and functional, community.
Like one or two big neighborhoods.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than having a hodgepodge like a lot of have.
And there's not really like a industrial zone and a, you know, it is kind of a mix. We have several, very neighborhood with schools, and kids can walk to school easily. We've put a lot of effort into some of our safe routes to school improvements here over the last few years, and that's really paid off.
We just get kind of that sense.
Yeah.
You're right. I mean,
you're right.
You don't have a cow yard in the middle of Moraga, but, you can see where it used to be.
Right.
I was just kind of wondering if that was kind of the general direction, whether implied or not.
Right. Some of
that was a compliment, man.
We call that
suck
charming legacy.
Yeah. Okay, fine. KINS, News and Information Time. I call this a commercial break. It's 8:43.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:47. Final couple minutes this morning. We've got Mark Wheatley along for the ride, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
Mark, this transition period now, going from summertime and a lot of visitors in the area, now kind of coming back to Weans that live in the area. You'd mentioned some of the infrastructure work that you guys have done, some of the cleanouts. I think off air you had mentioned something about a lot of the properties now around some of the creeks are no longer in floodplains,
right.
Opening some stuff up. Do you see that there's a single issue that's going to allow the housing construction to come back? Is it the overall economy? Because if the marketplace is demanding it already, there's got to be something that's a linchpin.
You know, one of the projects we were just talking about was we've done a lot of work on Strong's Creek and Runner and connecting some of our watersheds within town, and so not only have we've been improving those waterways for fish access, but and improving habitat conditions in there, but also reducing and containing the floodplain through flood control by increasing capacity in those creeks. So what we'll, at the end of the day, what we'll be able to do is we're going to be able to take about 50 to 60 homes and businesses out of the FEMA floodplain designation. And so, they will no longer be required to, carry a flood insurance. And that's a great thing. And so it also makes those systems way more functional. There's some pinch points that historically, so we created some overflow channels to increase capacity. So that those improvements are being constructed as we speak. And that's going to really change things through there.
The fields are the grazing lands that are still kind of in the area. Are those going to be built out? Do you have people asking about or developers taking plans out to build those? Because that's got to be the low-hanging fruit when you're talking about additional housing.
Yeah. Some of that is in outside the city limits. It's in the county. And that's where we get into this conflict with the county over the sphere of influence, because those are going to be places that are the logical places for the city to expand into over time. And those are likely to be rural residential areas. We would much prefer to see neighborhoods than grow houses. And that's our whole argument.
Are you getting traction on that?
Where we are seeing, the development, the grows, there are some very angry neighborhoods.
Good. Well, hey, robust fall. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.